Hello, good morning. It's really good to be with you this morning in your lounge, in your living room, in your kitchen, wherever you are this morning, maybe in the bathroom, but it's good to be with you there, maybe not in the bathroom. It's my privilege this morning to share with you for the last in our Diverted series. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Acts 2, that's a book in the Bible, and chapter 2, looking at the early church, the very first Christians, what they did and what we can learn from it today. As Ashwood, this year we're looking to go deeper and to reach wider, and we're looking at what we can learn from the early church as we hope to do that. We've been looking at the same passage throughout that series, which is from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. So let's just start by reading that again together. You can look up in your Bibles, or the words should come up on the screen. It says this: "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." And today we're going to focus on that very last bit in the passage. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And that's what we want to do as we're reaching wider this year in Ashwood. That's why those who are part of Ashwood regularly are praying for double at 2020 every single day, because we want our friends and our family to come and know Jesus, and for Ashwood to double this year. But before we go on and talk a little bit more about that, kids, I'm hoping that you've got some equipment that's going to help you this morning to help us to illustrate this talk. Hopefully you've all managed to get an A4 piece of paper, just like this one. And this is how we're going to do the craft today. So first of all, I'd like you to fold your A4 piece of paper in the middle like this. Feel a little bit like the Art Ninja this morning, or Mr. Maker, or for those of you older, that might be Neil Buchanan or Tony Hart. Whichever you are this morning, this is what we're going to do. So we folded it in half, and then we're going to do a concertina fold. That's a little bit like a fan, so you have to fold it one way like this, and then the other way, and then the other way, and then the other way, until you end up with a little bit of a zigzag piece of paper like this. Okay? You might be doing this along with me, or you might want to do it afterwards. Hopefully you can remember the instructions. It should be quite simple, because then when we've done that, we can draw on it a little person with our pen. And you might notice on this that the arms here go all the way to the edge. He hasn't got his hands on there. His arms need to go all the way to the edge, and his legs need to go all the way to the corners as well. Can you see that? And you can do your own little design. And then once you've done that, you can get your scissors and you can start to cut along those edges like this. And then once you've done that, hopefully you'll end up with a little lot of men. I'm thinking a lot of you kids can design this a lot better than me. I'm not very good at drawing, but you'll end up with your little dudes like this, ready to go. And then they will open up like this to make a load of devoted people, the devoted church that we're learning about during this series. So kids, if you want to have a go at that, we'd love that. Maybe you want to take a picture, you can put it in our live feed this morning, or you can send it to us for next week, and we'd love to see your people. We're going to come back to these at the end, but kids, enjoy having a go at that while I'm speaking this morning. So back to what we're going to talk about today. It's important to realise that this passage that we're talking about this morning, this devoted group of believers, is set in the context of a growing church. So the things that we've talked about so far in this series, the spiritual disciplines and habits that the early church were developing, of teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, worshipping, sharing, and prayer, They were all in response to the explosive growth of the church. They had to go deeper, not in order to go wider, but because they were already reaching wide. And then they had to set good habits for the new Christians and the new church, the new Christians and the new believers who were part of their fellowship. Just before this passage, the rest of Acts 2 explains to us a little bit about this context. What had happened that had brought them to this place was Pentecost, which is when the Holy Spirit, who Jesus had promised as his helper after he'd gone, had come in great power upon the apostles. And they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the results of that was that Peter, one of the disciples, was able to go out and preach a mighty power to those people around. And then we're told in chapter 2, verse 41, that that had led to 3,000 new believers being added to the church. How incredible is that? Over the last few weeks, when we've been looking at the principles from the early church that helped them to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus, it's really important that we get rooted in those disciplines and habits so that we can help new believers to get rooted in them as well. But also, as we get more rooted in them, that's going to help us to go wider. And Paul, my Paul, not Paul in the Bible, drew our attention to that a few weeks ago when he spoke about worship, that deeper and wider go hand in hand. They happen at the same time and they help and support each other. And that's modelled so well in Acts 2. As they went deeper at Pentecost and were filled with the Spirit, they reached wider. And so they went deeper again, looking at this devoted stuff in this series, which meant that they went wider. And this passage adds with that statement that every day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's really helpful for us to get hold of this, that deeper and wider go hand in hand. And it's like a cycle that goes round and round. What we're going to do now is we're just going to have a whistle stop tour throughout the diverted habits that we've been looking at in the last few weeks to see what we can draw out specifically in relation to how they help us when they're thinking about adding to our number or helping people to find Jesus for the first time. A few weeks ago, the very first in our series, Matt spoke to us about teaching. And one of the things that he said that week was that good teaching helps people to see the truth about Jesus. And in the time that Acts was written, the early church really was doing that, helping people to see the truth about Jesus for the first time. For the Jews who had grown up knowing God as their personal God, he'd brought them through loads of adventures to this place, and this is the context that they were in. The apostles were helping them to understand their ancient scriptures, what had gone before, in the light of Jesus, and what that meant for their Jewish faith and history. And then for the Gentiles, who were the people who weren't Jews, the Greeks, the Romans, the people who hadn't grown up in that faith, they were explaining a new way and what the truth of Jesus meant for them in a way that the Jewish faith hadn't included them. This did include them. It was really radical. And as we go further into the New Testament after Acts, we see that Peter, who was described in here, and Paul, who was one of the later apostles, they actually separated, went to speak to the Jews and to the Greeks, because they recognised that what they needed in their teaching was different, but all of it helped to point to Jesus and help them to understand what it meant to follow Jesus. And as Matt said a few weeks ago, that's what our teaching should do today. It should help people to see the truth about Jesus. That's true for us who are part of Ashwood Church, but also, and perhaps more importantly, for those outside the church who don't already know the truth about Jesus. I just want to draw our attention to two little points about the teaching in Acts 2. And the first one of those is that it was Spirit-breathed. In that little bit of passage before that, Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit. Peter's known as a bit of a Luddite, someone who wasn't really very learned. He was even maybe described as a bit thick sometimes. He was slow to learn. But the thing about him was he'd walked with Jesus and he'd been taught by Jesus. And then on Pentecost, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want and need from our teachers today as well. I'm not saying that some learning is not important. It's important that we understand what we're talking about. And I love to learn. I love studying. I love theology. But what's really important in capturing people's heart and for people really hearing and understanding the message of Jesus is that we're walking with Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They're really essential if we're going to be effective teachers who help people to see the truth about Jesus. The second bit that I want to draw our attention to is that the apostles' teaching wasn't just to the other apostles. It was to the crowds that included people who did not know Jesus. Peter was preaching to the crowd, not to the core. Obviously, the teaching helped the core, but his teaching was designed and God-inspired to bring people in and help people to know Jesus for the very first time. And that's what we want to do with our teaching. We want to help people understand who Jesus is and how he's relevant in your life today. The second one of our little habits that we've been talking about in this Devoted series was fellowship. Claire talked about this, and she talked about fellowship being participation in community. And she helpfully shared on that morning that that includes strangers. It includes people we don't know. Hospitality is so important to us as Ashwood Church. We really love to make people feel welcome. We hope you feel welcome on our live stream this morning, every single one of you. It's such a huge part of our culture and who we are as church. But in the New Testament, the word for hospitality is philoxenia. And the second part of that word, philoxenia, xenos, means strangers. So when they talk about hospitality in the Bible, they're talking about the love of strangers. And actually that word implies a reciprocal relationship. It's not just about us doing things for the strangers. It's about entering into real two-way relationships and friendships with people that we don't know. And that word for strangers, xenos, in the Bible, it doesn't just refer to people who we don't know who are like us, but it refers to people who are different to us. To the poor, to the sick, to the lonely, for the people who don't fit anywhere else. And so when we're talking about hospitality, about fellowship, about participation in our community, that includes everyone. It includes the least, the lost, the last, people who are different to us. And so we can see that for us, as we can pick that up from the New Testament, that that's going to be, if we can do that well, if we can welcome the stranger into our fellowship, into community, into mutual reciprocal relationships, that our number will be added to. The New Testament says, and Jesus, this is the words of Jesus, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And so as we love each other, fellowship with one another, are in community with one another, people will know that we are followers of Jesus. And actually a pagan Roman who was then quoted by Tertullian said this in these early church times. He said, "See how these Christians love one another." See how these Christians love one another. When we live in fellowship with one another, that's noticed by those around us. A link to fellowship is sharing, that Bob talked about a couple of weeks ago. And for the early church, part of their participating in community was about sharing what they had. Bob helpfully used one phrase, which was giving freely so that others won't go without. Sharing is giving freely so others won't go without. And Ron Sider, who's a theologian and social activist, he recognises that this new way of living in community that the early church was participating in had a really strong evangelistic nature. The strong nature of their relationship with one another, including their willingness to share their money and possessions in the early church, that was contagious. People saw it and they wanted to be a part of it. They loved what they were seeing. And actually, the way that they were living gave power to the apostles' teaching. What they said had credibility because of what they did and who they were and the way that they were living. So what can we, church, do today that demonstrates loving community that people want to be a part of? Bob and Claire shared some really good ideas, and we've seen some of that this morning, haven't we, as we're kind of sharing, giving things away, just finding ways to be community during this time. I'm just going to have a little drink. Okay, another little one of the habits that we have been looking at in this series is breaking bread, communion. Dave spoke about the importance of significance of communion a few weeks ago. For those of you who are not familiar and wonder what communion is, this is when Christians eat bread and drink wine together to remember Jesus' body, represented by the bread, and his blood, represented by the wine, which he sacrificed for us on the cross. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that sacrifice on the cross this Good Friday. We're going to have a live stream at 10:30, and we'd love for you to join us for that, to find out a little bit more about what it meant for us when Jesus died on the cross. But communion is an act of remembrance that helps us to remember when Jesus died on the cross. But as Dave explained to us so wonderfully a few weeks ago, communion also has a deep spiritual significance. And one of the significant things that he highlighted to us was this from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So when we eat bread and drink wine, that's really significant for us as Christians, and it can do amazing things in us. But this verse also suggests a wider significance, one of proclamation and one of declaration. Communion can have spiritual significance beyond just the church, as an act of proclaiming Jesus' death until he comes again. It's a demonstration of what he did that can have a far-reaching impact in the heavenlies, beyond what we can imagine, even when it comes to reaching out and going wider. We're going to take communion together at the end of our meeting, and hopefully you've got some bread and wine or fruit juice ready for that. If you've not, you've still got time to do that, and we'd love for you to join with us in taking the bread and the wine together in communion. A couple of weeks ago as well, Paul talked to us about worship, and he highlighted to us that worship calls attention to a higher reality. Worship calls attention to a higher reality. Which is so good for us, but it's also good for those around us. As we worship, as we sing our praises to God, that points others towards our Father as well. Paul shared a story of this from the New Testament, where Paul and Silas, two of the apostles, were in prison. They were bound and in chains because of preaching the gospel, but still they chose to worship God and they sung to him. And the other prisoners heard their song and were so impacted by that that they decided that they wanted to follow Jesus as well. And there's another story about where they were singing in prison and the chains fell off. Significant things really happen when we worship and we glorify God and we lift him high, and that can point people towards a higher reality of who God is. And we know too, don't we, as Christians, that when we worship, we enter the presence of God, and that transforms us. It makes a difference to our lives, and that those differences in us can demonstrate God to those with us and around us. Those looking at the early church worshipping would have seen the transforming power of worship, and they can see that in us too. And of course, prayer is so important in adding people to our number and to our fellowship as well. As we pray for those around us, for our friends, for our families, for our community, we believe that God does something when we pray. One of the things Claire said about prayer last week was that devotion to God leads to devotion to others. As we spend time with God, talking to him, listening to him, being in his presence, we learn his heart. And his heart is for every single one of us, those who know Jesus, but also those who don't. His heart is for the brokenhearted, for the lost, for those who don't know him, to come into his presence as well. And as we as Christians get hold of that through prayer, that leads us to more prayer, to pray for those people passionately. And it calls us to action as well, to do things that help people to see Jesus. Of course, we've already mentioned this year in Ashwood, we're praying at 20:20 in the evening every single day. Corporate prayer together for people to be added to our number, for Ashwood Church to double as people come to know Jesus for the first time. We're doing that together because we want people to know the transforming power of Jesus in their lives. So all of these things that we've been learning about in the Devoted series, teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, sharing, worship, prayer, of course they help us as Christians, as the church, to go deeper, just as they helped the early church to go deeper. But as we engage with them, they're also going to be significant to us reaching wider, to drawing people to us as a church and adding to our number. And kids, hopefully you've now got your devoted people there, but as we can see, as we are devoted, we can open this up and we will be doubled. As we're devoted, we can be doubled. We'd love to see your little people, kids, today. And then as we are doubled, those devoted habits are going to help us to help new Christians to come to know Jesus better. Maybe you're new with us today. Maybe this is the first time you've joined us as Ashwood Church through this digital means, or perhaps you've really picked up that we're passionate about adding to our numbers to encourage other people to join the church and encourage them to faith in this Jesus that we know as our friend and our saviour. Hopefully you'll have picked up that that's because we're passionate about people, about Jesus and about our faith. And we believe that having a relationship with Jesus can change our lives. The Bible tells us that life with Jesus is a life in all of its fullness. We know that to be true and we want you to get to know that too. If you'd like to find out more about that today, we would love to hear from you. Whether you'd like to find out more about becoming a friend of Jesus yourself or becoming part of Ashwood Church, we'd love for you to contact us. You can do that through our website. You can do it by emailing us at info@ashwoodchurch.org.uk. You can comment today in our Facebook feed. We'd love to hear from you there. Or maybe the best option is if you know someone already who belongs to Ashwood Church, send them a message now or later this afternoon. I know that they would love to hear from you and to be able to help you on that journey of getting to know Jesus and becoming part of the church. It's been really great being with you this morning. I hope that you found that helpful. I'm going to pass it back to Matt and Claire now, who are going to help us as we take communion and break bread together. See you soon. Bye.